You're listening to Rendezvous with a Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with a Writer, where readers and writers meet.
And story is everything.
You've just been listening to Hot Texas, but Hot Texas Swing Band, our friend Alex Dormont's group. And
we're so delighted that you're sharing tonight with us, whether you're watching or listening live or you're picking up this later on a podcast. We're just delighted that you're here with us tonight.
We are. And speaking of being here tonight, who's here?
Oh, my gosh. We have two guests, and we're going to be starting in the limelight with guest Laura Hearn, who has just popped up on the screen. And then shortly, we'll be having, he's waiting in the wings, we will have our featured guest taking center stage, Barry M. Putt Jr., but we have to wait for him, because first, it's all about Laura. Hi, Laura.
Hello, how are you?
We're good. Welcome. Yeah. And I see you're wearing your very jaunty, beautiful purple fedora. Tell us about that hat.
Well, as any good detective, you must have a hat.
Yes. And on the cover of every one of your books, there's our detective. And she's got a red hat. Yes.
Yes. Laura, changes colors with the seasons.
Yeah, with the seasons. Where are you joining us from tonight?
You know, I'm in a little town in the southwest part of Minnesota. And this is my home here tonight. Yeah. So I'm just so honored and humbled that you let me be on tonight.
Oh, thank my goodness.
Oh, we're glad
oh,
you're
my
here.
Goodness. Well, Jim has a little something he's going to say about you before we get into your books. Take it away, Jim.
A little quick bio here. Laura Hearn is an author who writes cozy mysteries and romance novels. She loves cats, charred Brussels sprouts with bacon, and romantic murder mysteries. Laura grew up in Texas and lives in Minnesota. She loves to ride motorcycles and is an avid domino and card player. Music and traveling are her passions. Laura, you ride a Harley?
Yeah, tell us about your motorcycle.
Talk about what now?
Do you ride a Harley?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
You have one, two, three?
Oh, yeah, how many? Yeah, one.
One, okay.
I'm a Harley babe. What can I say? Oh, my gosh.
Well, I had a list of them here. I was going down to start with Harley and then Indian, and I was going to go BMW, yeah, Honda, yeah. Suzuki.
Oh, there's only one bike. That's a Harley.
Okay, a Harley. There you go. Well, Laura, we're so delighted that you're with us. Tell us a little something maybe that we didn't hit on in the bio that you'd like to share.
Well, actually, I am a widow and an insurance investigator. And I have actually been in 48 of the 50 states, either spent the night or lived. My late husband and I lived around quite a bit. So I've seen a lot. I've been very blessed to see a lot of the U.S. and some overseas. So you didn't know that?
No, we didn't know that. That's really fun. Do you want to ask about her writing background?
Yeah, we usually you tell me what to ask.
Oh, well, I want to make sure.
Are you helping me out a little?
Because I want to make sure we hear your voice tonight.
We always kind of start with, what did you start writing?
Well, I have always been an avid reader, and I wrote stories through school. I just, who knew? I mean, there was no internet or any of this stuff. But my first book I wrote in 2012, and it's a nonfiction book. But it helped me through the grieving process of losing my spouse and things. And it was several years before I was working and everything. And I thought, this is my outlet. I love to write. So for me, writing stories, I see a movie in my head. When I get these ideas, they're like a movie and it's playing. These characters are talking and I'm just writing the movie. So I've been very blessed in that way. But I grew up on Nancy Drew mysteries and reading all of those and Hardy Boys and, you know, really cute looking detectives with all of them had a hat. Look at Dick Tracy.
Yeah. Now, you did send us, we were really gifted with a wonderful number of books. And I know some are romances. And then we're going to be talking greater depth about your cozy mystery series. But is there anything you'd like to say about writing romances?
Yes. Now, what I write, it's considered contemporary romance, but it's a clean romance. You know, there's different levels of spice in romance. And mine is more, it gives you all of the details, but it leaves everything kind of to your imagination. And it's I like to touch your heart. They're emotional. Mine are a little more emotional. The ones you have are just short novellas that I originally wrote to be included in anthologies, big romance anthologies. So each one of them, the last one you held up, Always My Love, was on the 40th, what would have been my 40th wedding anniversary.
Oh.
So this was sparked, you know, by that.
Yeah.
And they're fiction though, but
a
lot of writing is you. It comes from you.
Now you wrote the Lainey Maynard story, The Beginning, which is Jim.
Roommates.
Yes. Jim, you read this one.
I sure did. We had that crazy dog in there.
Well, don't forget the cat.
I'm coming to that, the attack cat.
Oh, she's sweet.
She didn't like the dog, though.
They did not get along. And, you know, Lainey is kind of a klutz, but this is how Lainey and her late husband actually met in college in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this character, Lainey, is there any of you in her?
He's holding up a little finger, like, let's see, widow, let's see, investigator.
How about now I'm going to go to the red Mercedes. You get one of those?
No. I wanted one, but I never got one.
All right. Now, let's get into, because I know we have such a short time. Laura, you have to come back in 2025. We're going to schedule you to come on back.
I would love to.
We would love to. So you have a 5-book series, and I'm holding the 2 most recent, number 4 and number 5. Talk to us about the Lainey Maynard mystery series. I got to tell you, readers, thoroughly enjoyable, thoroughly engaging. Yes, cozy mystery, a little frothy, but twists and turns, unexpected things. A group of ladies that you will all want to be able to join, the Whoopi group.
Yep.
So tell us, so that's all I'm going to say about these books. Now, Laura, talk to us about this series.
Hey, well, Lainey Maynard, like I said, has a group. She's a widow. She moved to Minnesota from Texas, where she was an investigator. And she has a group of friends that are all widows. Some have remarried, but they are called the Whoopi Group. Whoopi. They meet every week, sometimes twice. They eat, they play cards. Their characters, the oldest one, Vera Abernathy, has a boyfriend, Shep Morton, and I'm not going to tell you all about it, but let's just say Vera is gutsy, spicy. She'll tell it like it is.
Yeah.
And Shep just loves her to death. He's a huge, wonderful chef. And they do crazy things. In one of the stories, they moon people. Francie is another good friend, and Della, who actually is married to the local mortician, she is a and she's a historian. She does ancestry. Each one of them these are based on a real, I have a group of four friends and we're called the Whoop Whoop Group. So, and they've all agreed, they know their characters are
That's fun. How fun.
But she gets assignments from her office and her manager's called Snoops. That's his nickname.
Yep. Yeah.
He has always kind of been a father figure in a way because Lainey, headstrong, she's intelligent, but she's stubborn and she's clumsy and she thinks she's a lot stronger than she usually is. So she sometimes gets into trouble.
Yeah.
And Snoops is always there. He knows everything, even if she thinks he doesn't.
Well, and of course she gets, she's given very interesting assignments, isn't she?
Yeah.
So that's of course the premise for the book. And she does a lot of her work at home. She can, you know, but she's out on the road a lot too. And the one book number four, I'm going to mention this one because it does have a Christmas wintry kind of theme to it. And as we go into this time of year, or you're looking for a really fun holiday read or to give as a gift, The Christmas Corpse, Caribou Kit Cabin.
I read
this one. I didn't put it down. And it really had some unexpected, again, twists and turns. Really, really delightful. Do you have a, I'm looking at time, but we still have time. Do you have a question? Want to ask a question?
Well, yeah, one question. We were talking about the characters.
Yeah.
You know, and they all seem like, well, it might be tough to handle. Did they ever surprise you at all?
Oh, my goodness. When I start a story, I do have an outline. It never goes the way I think. The characters talk to you. And who I think is going to be the whodunit guy never ends up being the whodunit
guy.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
Their personalities, and it's interesting for me because, honestly, until I get to a certain part of the book, I don't know. They just talk to me and change. So, yes.
Now, you have a cast of reoccurring characters,
mm-hmm.
and now over five books. So how do you, as a writer, how do you kind of keep track of the terms that they, you know, the things that make them the characters that they are, so you have a consistency across the books, or you develop, you know, from book one to book five, maybe you've been able to develop. But how do you do that, Laura, as a series writer?
You know, for me, and maybe it's because I'm an insurance agent investigator, you know, it's details. I keep a file on every one of my characters. All of their personalities, while they're all strong, they all have downfall. They have faults and they have hurts. And so I make sure in every book that I stay true to what these characters are so that you know their personalities and you understand when they do things that they do because, that's what Francie always does. Or, well, there goes Vera again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But no, I keep very detailed files.
That's so interesting.
It's kind of interesting because I don't know if we talked about that many authors who really kept that kind of files. And your files kind of dovetail into Barry Putt, the next, next person.
I know, our next
That's
guest.
The kind of thing he talks about.
Yes, it is.
Characters and where they come from. And,
Laura, our time is quickly coming to an end. Yes. I can't believe it. So, but we're going to have you back next year. No worries.
Okay.
So tell us, where can people find you and where can they find your books?
I have a website, www.laurahearn.com, and all my books are on Amazon. I am an independent author, so you can only find my books either on Amazon or if you see me at a show, you know, book signing shows, or through my website.
Yeah, and they are on bookshop.org too.
Yes.
Another place supporting indie authors. And what are you working on next?
Oh, it's going to be great. Dumpster diving at Last Stomp Campground. Oh, yeah, it's coming up soon.
Oh, my gosh. You know, Laura, you and we have in common Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison. And we thought it would be very nice as we kind of say goodbye to you until we see you again next year. Here is a word from Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, who we just love. Laura, keep writing.
We'll
keep reading.
Thank
love you,
Laura.
Guys. Thank you.
You.
Rendezvous with a Writer is sponsored by Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, your author publicity and book marketing team. Experienced, trusted, effective. Contact them today at bluecottageagency.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. Jim and Bobby Bell, we're going to be talking about Barry Foote and his book.
And his book. Oh, my gosh. And there he is. Hello, Barry.
Hi, Bobby and Jim. How are you doing?
We're doing great.
When stories told through sound, the craft of writing audio dramas for podcasts, streaming, and radio.
It sounds like that's just right up our alley.
It is quite a book. It's quite a book.
It is a wonderful book. Barry, yeah. Before I get started, Jim's going to just say a little something about you.
Yeah, Barry Foote is an audio drama writer who has adapted over 50 classic and modern stories for radio theater projects and has written original audio drama plays that have been produced by Voices in the Wind Audio Theater, Colony Radio Theater on the Air, and more. His other books include Alice, Life Behind the Counter, and Mel's Greasy Spoon, which is a guide to the feature film, the TV series, and more. And the forthcoming, The Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew on film, TV, and stage. Very good. Now, I got a quote I got to slip in here. I usually keep the quotes to the end, but Bobby snuck this one in. You know, we're talking about old-time radio here in the beginning, and this is from an old-time radio show. And the question is, who knows what evil lurks in the heart of men? Only the shadow knows. I bet you 90% of the people listening don't even know that show.
Oh, I bet they do. It's really not called radio anymore. It's called audio drama, right, Barry?
But yeah, that's the current term. But it's had a number of terms, you know, throughout its time. And that's a great, yeah, The Shadow is a great show.
Yeah. I only remember on Saturday afternoons, I don't even know how it would come on or how but I remember The Shadow and The Green Hornet. And I think they must have played like one in front of the other. And I have this vague memory, but I think one of them said, you know, turn off your lights and pull down the curtains and, you know, get in the mood. And that's what great audio drama does, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, you know, audio drama was really the television of its time. Yeah. It started, it started before then. That's where soap operas came from. You know, there's a lot of our storytelling today that comes from audio drama.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember as a kid, you know, the whole family would be sitting around Sunday nights, you know, with the radio on, listening to one show after another. So,
yeah. So, Barry, how did you get started in audio drama?
So, well, when I was a teenager, I would visit my aunt in the summers. And she actually introduced me to listening to old time radio. And then fast forward, when I became a writer, I had most of my short plays produced, except for one. I was submitting it around and I couldn't find anyone to produce it. So I thought back to, my love for audio drama, and I decided to adapt it into an audio drama. Once I did, I submitted it to a company, and 2 months later, they accepted it for production. So meanwhile, I had been, as the play, I had been submitting it around for a year. Mm-hmm. So that's that was my start. I had another play similar to that, that I, you know, adapted into an audio drama. And then I actually applied for an ad for a new series that was looking for writers. They offered 2-episode contracts, and I got the contract, and then I was brought in as a staff writer, and I did that about 9 years.
Wow.
And I'm actually still with them. I now write a series that we're going into the fourth season. It's called Richard Wade, U.S. Marshal, and it is a Western action mystery series.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. That's right up our alley for sure.
That's so right. It's based upon a dime novel series, mm-hmm. but it's actually very loosely based. I kind of take liberties and have made the characters my own. Mm-hmm. But so that's how I got started in audio drama.
So to our writer friends that might be listening, or people who have an idea for a story and they haven't, you know, written it down, here's a really great idea. Take what you've written, get Barry's book. And let me tell you, this is like a textbook, but that sounds dry and unengaging. This is a very engaging chapter by chapter. He takes you from your idea. And if you don't have an idea, he gives you all kinds of sources for ideas. And he will walk you right through everything you need to do to complete it and have it ready to send out. This is a really, really engaging book. And we are, as we say all the time, we are not writers, but I felt like I was getting a real education just in the crafting of story, let alone crafting of story for audio. It's just, Barry, it's just a fantastic book. It's just, yeah. So that's, I don't want to talk anymore. We want you to talk. So let's see.
You know, you base all your teaching in the book around a story that you introduce in the first part of the book.
Yeah,
did you totally make up Jack, his character, or was that from some sort of story that you already knew about or happening that occurred years ago?
Wow, I'm so glad you asked that. I didn't. I rarely get to talk about this. So when I was writing the book, Jack was that, you know, that blurb that tells that it's like two sentences long that tells about his situation. That's what I started with. And it was directly for the book. I wrote it for the book. And then I continued to develop it for the book. Okay. So we get to know, you know, the character and the situation. So that was fun, you know, to develop it so that the reader could see how it develops from just a kernel of an idea.
Yeah.
That was great the way you did it, because you know, as you go on with the teaching chapters and you refer back to that, and I thought, you know, that's really neat the way he did that. And of course, part of the reason we got this book, besides having you on, was we wanted to learn something anyway.
So. And we did. One of the things that you say, it seems so obvious, but you say it right in the beginning, is that this is a form of storytelling for sure. But it is different from all other storytelling forms, because why?
Well, because you only use one of the senses, sound, to tell stories. Yeah.
Sound, yes. And you also refer to what's going on today as kind of the new storytelling. And when we chatted a couple nights ago, just thinking about how streaming and all of these things that are really need to have, that it seems like it's more than ever we want to embrace this type of storytelling, because as much as we love to be on camera, how lovely to use our imaginations, right?
Yes. Oh, you know, that's the wonderful thing about audio drama. So like, if you think about storytelling in general, right? Fiction, it uses the five senses to tell the story. The author gets to do that. But in dramatic writing, you really have two senses. Dramatic writing being film, TV, audio drama. However, as I had mentioned just a moment ago, audio drama just uses sound, but it really breaks it down into different categories. Dialogue, sound effects, right? Mm-hmm. Those really go hand in hand to really tell the story. Music, mm-hmm. sometimes, depending on the production. And then it has the ability to be a co-collaborator with the audience, because they get to imagine the characters and the action and the setting. So that's what really makes it unique and engaging.
You give, like I say, it's a primer. For instance, you talk about dialogue. And you say, there's three kinds of dialogue. And I stopped reading and I just thought to myself, three kinds of dialogue? What is Where's he going with that? So tell us three kinds of dialogue.
So there's three levels of dialogue.
Three levels.
And the first one is just to say what you mean, right? The second level is to refer in directly to what you mean. And then the third level is to say one thing and mean something else. And, you know, and it really is, it's really relationship based. So people, and it's really kind of true to life. So, when people interact, if they really know each other, they're going to probably use the second or third level dialogue because they know each other, because they have a specific dynamic. Mm-hmm. But if you're in another form, like if you're a teacher, right, you don't want to say one thing and mean another because your students aren't going to know. So you need to use first level. But yeah, those are the three levels of dialogue.
I bet every writer out there knows that, but we sure didn't.
Well, sometimes it's referred to as subtext. I've just broken it down a little bit more defined than subtext.
Yeah. Do you have a question?
Well, I have a couple, actually. did we ask this one to start with? What inspired you to write the book?
We didn't ask that, no.
Oh, well, what inspired me was that I had been writing audio drama for a while. I'm also a teacher. I teach dramatic writing, script writing, fiction, children's fiction. I teach a lot of different courses. And I really just wanted to share my knowledge with other writers or people interested in writing, because I found that it's a really welcoming community, audio drama. And I am a little biased, but I think it's a great storytelling form. Right, it's immediate, right? We can just turn it on and listen to a story. We can be wherever, you know, car, home, airplane, you know, it doesn't matter. You can just sit back and kind of listen. So that's really why I wrote the book.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Now, you had a particular audience in mind. Was it just other authors or was it for anybody as far as who you thought would read the book?
I had three different audiences. One was for first-time writers who were interested in writing. Another was for experienced writers that wanted to try a different form. And then the third is for people that are, you know, interested in learning about how stories are developed.
There you go. There you go. There's the three. We're number three. We're the number three readers.
You know, but no level of importance.
You know, when I read a book, particularly one that has characters, it's maybe not, you know, not a history book per se. I always like to get in and figure out how the characters are working, how they're thinking. I try to get in their heads and think, well, what are they going to do next? Would this one do this or would that one do that? And is this making sense to me as I'm reading the story? And you do a very nice job in one chapter. All you talk about is characters. Could you elaborate a little bit?
Yeah.
Sure. So, I mean, right, characters, character and plot, right, they're the core, right, of any story. And I think that with characters, what you need to do is start with a basic personality and just develop. All characters should have strengths and weaknesses. You know, your antagonist should have some redeeming qualities. Mm-hmm. And your main character or your protagonist, they should have some things that they need to work on, too. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, then you really create a realistic, character. That can be, and flaws are good in your main character. They help the reader or the listener, relate more to the story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That would be true.
You suggest something that you call the character speech dictionary.
Yes. So that is, I'm a big fan of spreadsheets, so I'll probably be talking about that a little bit. But so the character speech dictionary is really something that you as the writer create. You just open a spreadsheet, you know, on your computer or on a piece of paper, write down the characters that are in your story, go through your script and pull out the unique language that each character uses, and then put it, you know, under character one, put down their unique language, character two. Once you're done with that, you'll see, you know, they don't have to be even. Maybe character one has five unique things, character two has only two. You know, it doesn't have to be even, but it does help you to get their voice. Because like every person has a unique voice, and every character should have a unique voice too. Mm-hmm. One way you can do this is you can model your characters after a real person. And somebody that you know, but it should be somebody that is talking in life, you know, that not scripted. You could look at a letter, you know, if there's somebody that has written a lot of letters, and pick out the unique phrases that they use there, and then put that in your character speech dictionary. Mm-hmm. And it just builds and is really a valuable resource to make your characters, you know, jump off the page and be more authentic.
Mm-hmm. And I would think if you're doing a series, like we were just talking with Laura, you know, doing a series, and she talked about all the notes she keeps on all of her characters. And I would think that would be important, even the longer the series goes, to remember how did they sound in the first, you know, episode, and keeping that consistent along the way. That I would imagine that becomes very helpful, that tool.
Oh, definitely. And for what Laura was saying is kind of parallel to what I'm about to say. And that for the Richard Wade U.S. Marshall series, I have what's called a series Bible. And that maps out so we don't repeat plots. So so I know what the character growth is in each season, unique language. It's kind of a behind the scenes look at the story world, the characters, the history. My script in this case takes place in Lyons, Colorado in 1910. So I've actually done research. I have a map of Lyons, Colorado. All of those things go into that to help you be consistent, tell a consistent story.
Mm-hmm. Do you have another question before we
take a break? One just came up out of nowhere, which is almost meaningless. But, you know, you've talked about Colorado. We forgot to ask you, where are you from? Where are you calling from?
I'm from New Jersey.
All right.
That's right. He's on the East Coast. He's staying up late for this show tonight. I have one other very quick question. Then we're going to just go away for a moment to our bookshop ad. But, Beery, you also write about pitfalls, you know, like things that you could do that would not make your listener connect to characters. You know, like there's five things, you know, you don't want to do. Do you want to just hit on one or two of those that
sure.
Yeah.
So I would say that if a character kind of feels out of place in their world, you would, that's probably because you need to look at that character and find out what is making them not feel connected to that world and work on and fix that. And another thing that you can do is if all of your characters sound the same or are not identifiable, look at each individual character and give them some unique qualities. And if they clash with a different character, those qualities, kind of all the better, because right, that creates some drama and dynamics between them. Mm-hmm. So those are two things, you know, that you could definitely do in terms of characters.
Everything you need to know is right here. Stories told through sound, the craft of writing audio dramas for podcast streaming and radio. And we're going to show you one of the places that you can get this book, along with Laura's books and all of the books of our guests on Rendezvous with a Writer. And that is our Out West Shop affiliate page on bookshop.org. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a step away for a moment. We're going to be right back with more with Beery in just a moment. Don't go away. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer, explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer. Special guest, Barry Putt. It's stories sold through sound. Like, I don't remember the rest.
Stories told through sound. Sold through sound. That works too.
I have a problem.
You know, the whole goal is to sell a story.
You know, here's a small question. In the book, there's a lot of little illustrations.
Oh, yes.
Who did the illustrations?
Yeah, there are.
It is an illustrator from Brazil. Actually, did the illustrations. So I gave her some descriptions for each of the chapters, and then we worked. We kind of collaborated together to get the illustrations.
Yeah, they're very fun, and they certainly do set the scene.
Yeah. Now we have a serious question: how can writers use audio drama to expand the audience for their work?
Okay, so there's a couple ways. You know, if you write children's fiction, memoir, biography, anything that is, right, like a story-based book, you can adapt your book, right, to an audio drama. And that opens up a whole new audience, you know, for your work. That's actually, right, that's what I had done when I started. I took my play and I turned it into an audio drama. So that's one thing you can do. Mm-hmm. And another thing you can do, which is a little similar, is that you can adapt about 5 minutes of your book to an audio drama and use that as a marketing tool. So to agents and publishers, it's an immediate, you know, engaging moment from your writing that they can listen to along with your submission that you're sending as well. Mm-hmm. So those are two things that you can do.
Mm-hmm. What are some pitfalls to look out for?
Some pitfalls. So I would say that pitfalls in writing or marketing. Let me talk about marketing. So I would say that you don't ever want to pay an agent upfront costs. If they're asking for upfront monies, it's not someone that you should work with, because agents earn money either by getting you jobs and they take a percentage, or by selling your work and then they get a percentage. But that's the sole way that they earn money.
That's really good advice. To the novice who hasn't really gotten involved yet and hasn't learned it the hard way.
Yeah, the agent can't take your money and disappear. Where did they go?
What is one way? Here's the question. What is one way to draft a dynamic marketing place that will keep your work in front of any industry professional's mind?
Well, it really all starts with a query letter, right? That's your letter of introduction. So I would recommend keeping it really engaging and brief. There's really power in a brief amount of description. If you have a longer description, it can be engaging, but I would recommend something more brief. You know, talk about you as a writer, talk about your story, ask to send your work. You can also, if they ask for sample pages at some point, be sure that you end your sample pages at a climatic moment, right? Because they, in that moment, that's your audience, right? The, you know, the publisher, the agent, you know, the business professional. And that way you're leaving them wanting to read more. So those are two things that I would definitely recommend that you do.
Yeah.
You know, if an author is sending something off to somebody, I'm not sure how it works. That's why I'm asking this particular question. If an author sends something off to somebody, does he ask for somebody to sign some sort of release or something so they don't steal his material, or do we do that?
Well, that's a good question. I would say it depends what medium you're writing in. In terms of audio drama, there's no releases. But in terms of screenplays, sometimes they sometimes the company actually asks you to sign an NDA, a non-disclosure, or an agreement saying that they come upon a lot of stories and they may come upon one similar to yours in the future, or maybe developing it right now.
Uh-huh.
So, but in audio drama, actually, and also in fiction writing, I really haven't seen that. Uh-huh. But so focusing back to audio drama writing, no, audio drama is a small community, and which makes it really more intimate, right? And more, I think that because of that, it's easier to get to know people and then, you know, mm-hmm. then find opportunity through there. I did want to mention something that just to show about the growth in popularity for audio drama, that in 2017, according to audio-drama.com, which is kind of a clearinghouse for everything audio drama, in 2017, they had 3,000 audio drama outlets worldwide. Now, as of now, you know, 2024, there are over 10,000 audio drama outlets worldwide. Yeah, so it's tripled in just 7 years.
Wow. So
that's why it's really right? It's really
it's fun. It's fun to see growth, you know?
Do you see, was the years of COVID have any impact, you know, with people not really going out? I mean, was that... Can one connect that at all, or this was just already rolling along? And
it's kind of both. Yeah. It definitely was rolling along. I did track the statistics, like in 2019. I don't remember those offhand. I think it was probably about 6,000. It grew a lot, and then, you know, during COVID, a lot of theaters would you know, they got into the into audio drama. Then they pull back, you know, post-COVID. Mm-hmm. But regardless of that, the number keeps growing.
That's so interesting, Barry.
That's great.
That's so interesting.
You know, we probably should ask you about the mini workshop.
Oh, yes.
To make sure you get that in.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Tell us about the mini workshop.
So this is something that anyone can do at home. You know, just for fun, or, you know, if you're a writer, it would get you starting your creativity. And there's two parts to it. So the first part is that you are going to, you know, again, take a spreadsheet or a piece of paper, and in your column headers, write down professions. And I'll give you the first profession. Book publisher. And then you want to come up with three or four more. Then you'll have another column called character redeeming qualities. Gracious is a quality. Character negative qualities or weaknesses, not detail oriented. Mm-hmm. Quirks, another column, quick to panic. Mm-hmm. And then your final column, a problem to face or ambition to achieve, wants to become a boss. So those are your main columns. Get at least 3 to 4 entries for each one of those columns. You can have more. So that's part one. And then in part two, you want to select traits from that list to help craft characters and a core situation. And then you write the first scene or a synopsis for a 30-minute audio drama based on that information.
Wow.
Very good.
Wow. So, Barry, where can people find you? We're not really wrapping quite yet, but since you're just talking about a workshop, where can people find you? I'm sure you must be willing to come out and teach or come into a session, or where do they find you to do that?
Well, the best place is my website, which is barrymputtjr.com, and junior is just JR. You know, or you can do a Google search to find my website. I'm pretty easy to find, but yeah, the website is best. You know, and I teach audio drama writing in person and online, and a lot of other different story development workshops. I also do public appearances, book signings, and present at conferences as well. So, I love writing and talking about writing and meeting writers. So that's the best place to find me.
Very good.
I don't know, we might have to take a class.
We might. We probably should. What are you working on next, Barry?
I'm actually working on two books at the moment. I'm working on the Audio Drama Resource Guide, which is for audio dramatists. It will be the first ever guide to help audio dramatists find vetted companies to submit their work. Every company in the book will be looking actively for scripts. So once you've written your script, you'll have a resource to go to. And it will be out next year, and then it will be out every other year after that.
With updates.
And then my other book, I think you actually mentioned it earlier, but I would be glad to talk about it again. And that's The Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew on Film, TV, and Stage. That is, so it's a chapter on every single production from the 1930s up to the present day, and a real behind the scenes look at all of those films and TV shows and stage plays.
How fun.
Wow.
I've talked with over 100 people so far related to them. I've interviewed them. So all of that information is in the book. And you can find out more about it on my website, too. I have a page on my website that talks about that.
You also have the Alice book, which I don't have a copy of. Oh, there it is.
There we go.
He's holding it up to the camera.
This is the book that Jim had mentioned before about the TV show Alice, starring Linda Lavin, and the feature film. So yeah, I have that, and I don't know. Do I have another moment just to show you?
Sure.
Okay, I have a children's book, A Nutty Tale.
Oh,
it's a picture book for younger children.
Oh, how fun!
Great, that's fun.
Since you're doing a Western series, of course, Gunsmoke was on the radio way before it was on TV. Is there a Gunsmoke book in your future?
Well, I really like that show. There are actually two really comprehensive books on Gunsmoke. So
probably been done. But I couldn't help, now that I know that you're doing some Western things, I couldn't help but think about some of the Westerns that started on radio. I think even The Lone Ranger started on radio. I'm probably a little out of my field, but yeah, fun.
You're definitely right. Yes. Radio, 20 years, I think, on radio.
Well, Jim, you have another kind of couple fun.
We have a couple more quotes.
Fun radio quotes.
Yeah, the first one here I'm going to read is from Wall Street journalist Peggy Noonan. And she says, TV gives everyone an image, but radio gives birth to a million images in a million brains. And from that famous lady, Marilyn Monroe. A reporter is asking Marilyn Monroe a question, and she says, "It's not true I had nothing on. I had the radio on."
What happens in front of the radio stays in front of the radio, you know?
We find these things in funny places, okay, Barry?
I think there's some great quotes.
Barry, thank you so much for being with us tonight. Again, Barry was in center, taking the center stage spot tonight with his book, Stories Told Through Sound, The Craft of Writing Audio Dramas for Podcast, Streaming, and Radio. And of course, our first guest, Laura Hearn, she was in the limelight, and we were talking about her Lainey Maynard mystery series, and we were just delighted to share tonight with both of you. Next week, taking the limelight is a returning guest, Vince Pinkerton, with his new book, Legacy. And I am really eager to get into this book. It sounds like an amazing story, little different from the two stories that we talked with him about last year when he was on. And then taking center stage is author Ken LaSalle. And we will be talking with him about Cambria is the name. And I'm not going to tell you anything more about it. You need to turn in next week so we can get into great detail about Ken's work, Cambria, place that you and I have been to many times.
We have.
Yes, we have.
We appreciate you having you on, Barry. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you, Bobby and Jim. I've loved talking with you both tonight. Thank you so much.
This is great fun. Do you have a closing quote?
We always say it's always a great day out west.
Keep writing, and we'll keep reading. We'll see you next week. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.